Hi, everyone, and welcome to episode 9 of the School Free Life podcast. Today, I've got Carolina and Karen from Mother Priestess, and we're going to be talking about ways that we can protect our children's psychic abilities. Obviously, through the lens of deschooling and unschooling and the School Free Life, I love this topic so much. I think it's something that needs to be spoken about and something that is just really, really missing from the homeschooling realm. It's still so school-based in so many ways. And I think these times are really calling for us to tune in to the psychic realms and supporting our kids' connection with their creativity and the unseen. And you guys are here to voice that with the world. Hey guys, how are you going?
Hey.
Lovely. Thanks for having us.
My pleasure. Would you like to introduce yourself first, Karen, and just chat a little bit about all the things that you do and what led you to Mother Priestess?
Hi, everybody. So my name's Karen. I'm a mother of two. I've got one school-aged son and a little 3-year-old. I'm based down in Tasmania. And it's a really cool story of how Carolina and I met. It was actually through you, Amy, that it all happened. And my psychic journey all began when I made the decision to pull my son out of kinder. And I joined one of your offerings, your Energetics of Education offering. And through that, I met Carolina. And at the time, she was doing an astral hangout. I had no idea what astral hangout was or what the astral was, but through meeting my guides, I dived into that side of myself and opened up a whole new world. And through that, I've seen my kids become so much more outwardly psychic than I ever knew they were. I'd heard other people talk about their kids' really cool psychic experiences of, connecting to spirits or stuff like that. And I hadn't really seen any of my kids very much, but the more that I leant into my own psychicness and realizing that I actually have the abilities myself, it's led my kids to be so much more open with that. And it's really helped on our own journey through the unschooling lens and just in parenting in general.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Karen. And Carolina,
Hey everybody,
what's your
I'm
story?
Carolina. My story, psychic sense, it can be remembered by parents and things. I started delving into it as a teenager, and I remember stories as a kid as well. Like my friends would we would make games about me trying to guess things that they were thinking and that kind of stuff. And then I went through my, late teens and early 20s, which is that dark night of the soul time of being a bit lost. And when I say this, I wasn't even lost. I was so sure of what I wanted in life and what I wanted to do, which at the time was theater. But the core mission was always to help children be more aligned. So I actually, and this is, if we're going to look at the deschooling lens, I actually decided I would never put my children in school after I finish university. And then eventually I came into the psychic gifts as this is meant to be my calling and this is my profession. And then it was at the end of 2012 that I went to what's basically Hogwarts in real life, which is the London College of Psychic Studies. It exists. And I studied for 2 years deeply, lots of different kinds of psychic arts. And then from there, I realized that I needed to help the adults heal. So I sort of fell into healing and helping people heal. And then I came back out on, okay, I think it's time to do the psychic stuff again. And that came, so to transfer myself, this is all the ego deaths things as well that we go through the way, but to transfer myself from the identity of healer to the back to the identity of psychic, which I started with the psychic, then went into healing, then came back to the psychic. That was only, and just to say, like throughout all this time, I've always done tarot readings and things like this. So it's not like I wasn't using my psychic skills. It was just the lens of healing was the important piece at the time. And then so it's after Maya is born, it's after I take a break from work, it's after all of these things. Maya's now 3, so I'm a mom of just one. And yeah, so after all of these things, maybe like a year and a half ago, that I go, and I need to go back to the psychic and I need people to know like the healing is done. And if we continue, actually, this is the main thing. If we continue to think about the healing and talk about the healing, and we're just gonna keep perpetuating the pain, and it's time to step out of the healing and to go into the vision. And the vision comes with the psychic skills. And so here we are. And then because I'm all like up for not schooling my kids, my daughter was only like two, and I was like, I'm gonna join Amy's container because I like meeting non-schooling people. And then I met Karen, and then Karen became my student. And after a year, and through human design cues, so following the human design authority, I got the message that I needed to invite Karen to join me. And then Mother Priestess was born, God, a month ago, maybe.
I love that. I love that journey so much. I love the way that all of our lives are interconnected and the way that they're woven together through this unschooling, deschooling, homeschooling portal. Because essentially, like, this is such a big part of it, right? Is like removing all of the barriers to us living as our most liberated selves and being connected to our psychic abilities and the unseen and our creativity. Whatever it is that you want to call it is like such an essential part of that. And that's your mission, right? Is to support parents to not only come home to that for themselves, but like nurture that within their children. Do you want to talk a little bit about how parents can do that or even what that is, what that can look like? Because I'm sure there's some listeners out there that are like, whoa, what is this? I'm not psychic. I don't know how to even like notice if my kids are psychic.
Okay, we'll go a little bit into the what it actually means. So first of all, I think a lot of people that would be listening to this would probably already be familiar with intuition and into mom's intuition, mom's feelings, mom's all of this. And the intuition, and some people just assume that the psychic gifts is the same as intuition, and it's not quite the same. So your intuition is actually what makes you, it's your motivator. It's your motor that actually makes you take action or non-action according to the information that you receive. Your psychic gift is how you receive the information. So it happens a lot that people think they're really attuned now because they're listening to their intuition, but if they don't attune to their psychic gifts, then they don't know if they're receiving the right information for the intuition to be actually correct. So it's like, oh, I followed my intuition and then the thing didn't go like I wanted it to go. It might be because your psychic gifts were not aligned and therefore you ended up following your intuition on the wrong information. And so there's different ways we receive this information. And that's what the different clair gifts are called. So there's the seer, the listener, the feeler, then there's the smeller and the taster. So it's all linked to basically linked to our senses. And then the claircognizance, which is tend to be linked with the sixth sense, but that's debatable. So I don't want to go into that here because it's actually a debatable clair gift. But it's what it means really is that we're so attuned with our five senses that the information we receive is exactly the information that is right for us and for our soul, and therefore the intuition can make the right decision in moving forward or not moving forward with that information. And so yeah, I don't know if that answers your question, but in terms of like how we do to help the kids is they're there, they're attuned. And so the way we help our kids is by not blocking their attunement, which comes back down to the whole lens of like deschooling and schooling, doing the work that you need to do in order to be able to witness this and not block it. And obviously, the more you are connected with your own gifts, the more, and I'll pass it to Karen here because she has a recent experience of this, but the more you connect to your own gifts, the more they are in their own permission to show theirs and not hide, sort of thing.
I love that.
Yes. Yeah. I think especially when it comes to our kids, they are so open. And especially if we are unschooling them, they're never going to be told that what they're feeling or thinking or experiencing is wrong. They're never going to, be told to get out of their head and stop imagining things. Whereas for us, our generation has gone through being told to, we have to do this and we have to do that and This is how you should be, and this is how you shouldn't. And so by us starting to embody who we truly are and who we were before, all of this stuff came on top of us, and all the conditioning and experiences and trauma and whatever else came in. It's about returning to that. I feel like for me personally, tuning into my psychic gifts has been a way of reconnecting with my inner child, and not just giving my inner child like a big hug and advice, but tuning into who I was before all of that stuff got put on me through school and through living a life. And that has just been so beautiful. Every day I go outside and I really get to notice the birds and the bugs and, like all the little things that kids really are so present when we, when they're so young like that. To return to that version of myself, it just adds like an everyday magic to my life. And I found with me, like for me, when I started tuning into my guides and my clairs, I felt really close to a tree in my backyard. And I felt like a crazy person, but I ended up going out and speaking to this tree, and she spoke back to me. And by having opening up this connection and realizing that everything can communicate with us if we are just open to asking a question and receiving. It's now given my own kids permission to embody their own psychicness as well. So my daughter, she's really loves dogs and talking to the trees, or going to the trees a hug and ask how they are. For my son, he started because he had the two terms at kinder. I realized how conditioned he was coming just from those 2 terms that he spent at kindergarten. But through tuning into my psychicness, he is like a different person now. He had this being comfortable called the unknown. He calls it the unknown. Sometimes he says it's a light. Sometimes he says he can feel it. And he'll go and speak and ask the unknown questions. And recently now the unknown has become this one teddy that he has, and he carries it around with him everywhere. And he's like, no, the unknown pets because it's my old brain. I thought it was my old greyhound spirit, but it's actually this toy that he carries around, and the spirit of this being has fallen into his toy. And it's just really cool to see him really lean into that and to not be restricted by, kids will believe anything that we tell them. If we tell them Savvy's real, they'll believe it. If we tell them that they can speak to spirits and feel and, see all of these other things that we can't see, they'll believe it too. So it's just about letting them remain open to receiving what comes through for them. I think it's such a beautiful way to live.
Totally. So validating, right?
Yeah,
Yeah.
definitely, definitely. And even like I had an imaginary friend as a kid, and through going through this journey, I realized that was my guide speaking to me in his form.
You made a post
And
about that the other day, I think. I loved that post. Yeah. Yeah. I think most people can relate to that. They had an imaginary friend. And yeah, but. Yeah, I loved that perspective so much. It just feels so true that that's actually your guide or one of your guides. And they show up in different forms at different stages of your childhood and in different ways until like someone comes along and tells you that you're too old to have an imaginary friend or you've got, you need to start taking life more seriously or that's woo-woo. And how many people does that happen for? Like, it probably happened for me. I can't pinpoint a moment that that happened for me specifically. I feel like it just kind of died out because maybe I felt like I had to suppress it because I was getting too old for that kind of stuff. But honestly, on every single report card, it said, Amy just daydreams. Amy's always daydreaming. It's like, I'm having a freaking like communion with the unseen, okay? Just let me
Me to
daydream.
it.
Yeah,
You're
leave my.
probably astral traveling in
Yeah,
those
totally.
moments.
Or like, yeah, dissociating in class and just like, oh, guides, come and save me.
Yes. I actually also had, as I'm really into animals. I've always had a really big connection with animals. I was an only child, so my animals were my siblings growing up. And I had a pony who I was so connected to. She was with me from when I was about like 10 to when I was about 17. And I would go and I would tell her all my stuff. I would tell her and cry her name and give her big cuddles. And once I started getting to my psychic better, I ended up channeling my homie. And she told me that she was working directly with my guide to give me love and support. And that's what she came here for. And I just think that's so magical. I don't know if we're so connected to us like that as well when we're kids. They were there as my guardians to help me through.
And it's isn't it such a shame that so most of us just become disconnected from this like innate wisdom and su innate support that we have. Well, I feel like the support's always there. We just get conditioned away from actually seeing it and believing it.
Sort of.
Sort of.
Because the thing is, this is the important thing as well, is we have free will. So the guides cannot help you unless you ask directly. So what happens is the guides, unless, when you're a child is different because you're still very connected to the stars, but also the child is connected. So the child is connected, is asking the imaginary friend to help, right? But once you block the connection, if you don't ask your guides to help you, they can't. They're not allowed. It's a rule in the realms. So because of your free will, it's part of the game. So I always use the analogy of the sat nav. It's like you have a co-pilot. He's telling you where to go, but you're just like not listening, and he's like so frustrated sitting next to you, being like, will you please just listen? Like, I have the answer. And you're like, nope. Once you connect and you can hear or see or whatever, however is your main gift or feel, then your sat nav is going, you're following the sat nav and you're going in the direction. And it's like, you're still going to get to the places you need to get. It's just going to take you longer, you know?
What about those moments where like you avoid something or you're about to I'm just thinking of this moment I had where I was holding two coffees in my hand. I was at the flower market and I had my baby strapped to me and I like tripped on something and I don't think I asked my guides for anything, but my feet just started moving in this way as though there was something underneath them that was stopping me from falling because I would have like fallen on my stomach. I had two coffees in my hand and I like found my balance and was like something just came and like lifted my feet up.
That was your guardian angel. So your guardian angel
Is that
doesn't
different?
actually, there's, so we have a cross of guides, which are, we have many guides throughout our lives. We have a cross of guides that are your four like main ones that are with you from the moment you're born. They have contracts with you from the moment that you're born until the moment that you pass. And one of them is a guardian angel. So you have your main guide, your gatekeeper is your protector. Your guardian angel doesn't actually do too much throughout life unless you have emergency situations like yours and they have to interfere in that moment to be like, whoops,
Thank
it's not
you.
time yet. So that would have been your guardian angel. But your guardian angel doesn't come down with messages as much because your main guide, I don't know how we got to guides conversation, but your main
I'm
guide,
loving
your main
it.
guide is, he's been human. She has been human. It's likely that you as a soul have been a guide to them as well at some point in your soul group of contracts, right? So that guide understands what you're going through. The guardian angel is a being from a different realm, and it's only if whatever's going to happen is going to shift the map for a bigger reason, right? If something like you falling and things going wrong in that moment could create a butterfly effect that's actually very unbeneficial to the whole, the guardian angel will interfere.
Okay, that makes total sense. And I love this conversation because, like what Karen was saying, like the more that you become connected and aware of these beings and these like forces in your life, the more that you'll be able to support your children to stay connected with theirs. And I mean, it sounds so simple when I say it like that, but when we've been so schooled and so led to believe that this is potentially woo-woo or just make-believe, even though we feel that it's real in our body, because it feels real in my body, but like my conditioning, this little voice is like, whatever, Amy, like that's woo-woo, like that can come through. And I feel like that could come through for a lot of people who are on this de-schooling journey, right? When, it's actually such an essential part of coming home to the truth and coming home to, being really authentic in our expression as a family.
It is, and it's also, sorry, have you finished or you okay, it's also like we need to step into this as the next part of the human evolution as well. So while it's always been there, if we think about the human evolution, we had a period in which the body was the important ev evolution, and then we just gone through a period in which the intelligence was the important evolution, and now we're going to come into the Aquarian age in which the important evolution is going to be this. It's going to be your psychic, how you link to the other realms, which is done through your psychic gifts.
How exciting!
Exciting.
Oh
Embrace the woo.
yeah, it's such an
Embrace
and
the
you can
woo.
already see these like little people who are coming through. Like, look at the shifts that they're making already. Like, just through my own observations in the work that I'm doing through deschooling and unschooling, and also birth work, and the ways that these children are like showing up to life is just like, whoa. Okay, guys, like we really need to listen to you because, you know, the ways that we are doing things are so outdated and irrelevant to the future that you're creating. You know, we need to support you. And that's
So
what
can
Mother
you
Priestess is
imagine?
all about, right?
Yeah. Can you imagine what these kids are going to be able to achieve when they don't have to spend half of their life trying to come back to themselves? When they've always been so open and connected to their purpose and what they're here to do, they've always been connected to their gifts. They don't have to move. They, you know, if something comes up, they move through it in the moment. They don't store it and keep it for later to deal with in their 20s and 30s. Like, these are going to be superhuman. It's going to be amazing.
It's making me emotional.
I know. It's really exciting. We get to be the mothers for this. Like, it's so special. We get to mother these humans. And
And
can you
so
imagine
healing
what it's
for us.
going on? 100%. It's so healing. Like, you know, moments. We have similar experiences that as a kid, maybe you were told this. Whatever, you know, you think not believe, but then it comes up for your kids and you get to fully embrace it. And you're like, really? There's a man, like, there's a person in the room? What are they here for? Where are they from? Like,
Yeah, I saw you talking to
where do
that
they
tree
go?
outside. What were you talking about?
Like, I go to the playground with my kids, and I went through a stage where every time I go to a playground, I just go hang out in a tree. And so they'll be in the playground and I'll yell over at me, Mom, what's the name of the trees? Like, do you ask the tree what its name is?
That's so
What?
funny. I love that. There's probably some other parents like, whoa. Or maybe
What
that
is
parents are
that
like,
weirdo?
they're probably just like, ooh.
Are you sitting on that tree in the playground?
Have you guys noticed though that like even because I've noticed this even within like the last 2 or 3 years people are like way more open to like exploring this way of being than they were before. I feel like there's this like mass returning or awakening to this on a
100%.
huge scale. Have you guys noticed that as well?
Absolutely. Yeah. I feel like with everybody's gone into yoga and meditation and breath work, and in all of these type of practices, people seem to often have such spiritual experiences in it. But, you know, say with like a breath work session, I find that, like, you know, you flip the intent and have your experience. And some people have crazy spiritual experiences. And then they come out, and you don't, no one really talks about a spiritual experience. They just kind of say, oh, well, how does that relate to your intention? Which is great. But then it's really cool to just dive into the fun side of the spiritual experience that you've gone into and be like, wait, what is this? Like, there's way more to this that's not being spoken about. I feel like it's just scratching the surface.
It's almost like those experiences just open the portal. And it's like,
100%,
okay,
yeah.
the portal's open. How can I create from that space?
Yeah, how can I play in this space? How can I find joy and lightness? And I found since getting on the psychic, like I've gone through so much healing and jumping into all my forms and my triggers and my conditioning and unschooling myself. And it hasn't actually been till I think when I joined up to the Astral Hangout, it was the first time that I was like, I'm not going to join healing from this. This isn't for my kids. I'm just doing this because I'm curious and it sounds fun. And so much healing has come out of that than me diving into all of my problems and talking about it all the time. It's a really fun thing to do after you've gone through all of the work that we've gone through to then just dive into the fun stuff like astral travel. You can just imagine whatever you can imagine with what you can do. Like it's like
Seriously,
a trip.
I feel like that's actually such an important conversation to bring up that, we can get just so addicted to being in our trauma spirals and like alchemizing trauma. This is the alchemization of the trauma, I guess. We're all fucking traumatized from school. But we can marinate in that for the rest of our lives, and like that becomes almost a distraction, doing the work, doing the healing. It's like, let's use these modalities to open the portal. Let's use these modalities to like alchemize and like see what's possible. I do have a question that's just coming through. When you're working with a parent who's new to this and they've got little kids and they're wanting to make changes in their life and they're really interested in ways that they can reconnect with their psychic abilities, what are some ways that you can support them to find their way home to that?
It's just
Who's
like
gonna go to first?
I feel like I put on the spot for a marketing spiel.
Market, tell us what you do.
I guess the pathway that I've been helping parents get to it is actually back to our conversation of the guides. So first meeting the guides, then learning what their clair gifts really are. And then from there, one of the most important things as well is to relearn how to trust the imagination, because people tend to think that imagination is something that we make up, and actually imagination is the psychic tool. So it's
Wow.
about retrusting our imagination. That's where the creativity comes from. Creativity is basically downloads, right? And us trusting the download and us then using the intuition to act on the download. And so the imagination is really important. And this is the effect, the main effect of school, but I think it can go even further back into society, right? Society that creates school, that creates whatever messed up now we are,
How far out
that, how far out can we go? That means we don't believe in imagination, it being a spiritual tool. We think it's something that we make up and it's part of the cerebral, thing
That
when
it's
it's not.
fiction. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So one of the most important things is to retrust our imagination and then show our kids that we trust theirs. So, and I'm going to give you a really simple example. Like the other day we were leaving the house and Maya had 16 horses with her that were coming with us. And I had to stand at the door and wait for all 16 horses to get out of the door before I could lock it, right? And it's those little things, when it comes to like accepting ours is a little bit different because we have to go through the whole deschooling process and the whole like we actually have a particular thing to help with that. But with the kids is, if you want to help your kids, is trust them. Trust their imagination, believe in them. Anything they say, as crazy as it is like, wow, that's incredible. They had that experience, whether you can see it or not as a parent, for them it's real, and therefore it is real. And we got to believe and we got to trust it.
Yeah, I think a really cool thing that we did together as well was going in and meeting our kids' guides as well, and speaking directly to our kids' guides and asking them, what does my kids need? How can I help them? How can I support them? That was really cool. That was a really cool experience to do that. I remember doing it with my daughter, and she's a fiery manny Jen, and I was like to ask her when. We were sitting around a round table, and her guides showed up, and they were like, badass. And they were like, oh, you better be ready.
I love that. That's epic. And so, do you guys, through your Mother Priestess offerings, do you offer opportunities for parents to go through processes to do this kind of thing? That's so awesome. I'm signing up. Because I've never done anything like
Getting
that
that.
before. I feel like I do that naturally. Like, I'm definitely naturally do that. But with more intention, I feel like I would be able to really hone in on, like, who my kids' guides are, and maybe differentiate which guides belong to which child, which would be helpful. And I'm also just wondering, like, maybe if you feel like sharing some, are there any like really simple processes that a parent can do to tune into their guides? Because maybe some of you listening are like, I want to do that. Is there something simple I can do right now to bring awareness to my guides, or like meet my guides? Like, who are they? I'm sure there's a lot of curious listeners out there.
We do have a workshop precisely to do that, to initiate contact with the guides, and it's something we usually run for free. I don't know right now in the recording of this podcast because we're actually doing it right now. Like, I think the video specifically to initiate the guides is something that went out like 2 days ago for the group that's going with us through the
I
through.
must have intuitively, psychically tuned into that just
Yeah.
then.
So I don't know when this podcast gets released, when will be the next round of that, but we do have a workshop that's exactly that. It explains all the different guides and initiates, it helps people initiate contact with their first guide on the 3D realm. And then obviously, and that's our free, and then our paid offering, the layer up to that is to actually go into the astral and meet all your guides. And then after that, meet your kids' guides and then trust your imagination and learn all your clairs and all of the things. So yeah.
That's so cool. I keep like doing this like happy head shake because there's a part of me I'm just like, oh, I wish I learned that when I was a child. Like, why didn't, or like as I was becoming an adult, you know, where is this information?
Or
It's
even
even
as
as
a
a mother.
child, yeah, like I had Robert, and Robert was
Robert.
my mom believed Robert, Robert, yeah, because I'm Portuguese, but Robert was like a school friend. She 100% believed he was a friend from school, and at
Wow.
school they 100% believed he was a friend from home time, right? And then one day my mom went to school and they realized he didn't exist.
He did. She just couldn't see it.
And so he got killed. He got killed, but no, he didn't. So that's not the right word when you're doing a party.
Shutting
Like he
down. He's
got,
shutting down.
yeah, he got shut down by me being told. Because then children take everything at face value. That's why it's so important for us
Totally.
to believe them and to trust what they come out with. Because if then I'm told by an adult that he's not real, then I will assume that's
You
the
believe that
truth.
to be true.
Exactly. So then he got shut down, and then when I went into the psychic college and I met my guides for the first time, because that's usually one of the first things you do when you're getting into psychic stuff, because you need them to get all your psychic stuff. You need them. And then I met him again and I recognized him immediately. And I called my mom, I was like, I found Hubert. I was like,
Hey, Mom, he
what?
was
He's
here all along.
real.
He's been waiting for years.
Yeah.
That's so funny. I had an imaginary friend named Gwen. I'm pretty sure she was inspired by Gwen Stefani, maybe. I don't know. Maybe No Doubt was, I don't know. But yeah, I used to hang out with her so much. I don't remember a specific moment where like I shut her down, but she just faded out over time, I guess, as I got older and maybe culture around me just made me, you
I
know.
think, I think you start realizing that it might be weird to be talking to yourself. So you're like, oh, I better not do this. Having like a conversation with yourself.
Or popular culture or things that really keep us on that like lower frequency just becomes dominant and we're just like actually just not attuned to
Yeah, we get
that
distracted.
noise. Yeah, and
Yeah, it's not even a conscious thing necessarily.
there's also the lack of rituals around the hormonal changes. So when we go through the hormonal shifts, there's different ways to connect, right? And different connections, and we don't have rituals to hold us through those processes at the moment. Something that we can maybe create in the future after everyone got de-schooled.
That's actually such a important point to bring up because when we go through adolescence, when we go through our menarche, or you know, boys go through their first signs of becoming fertile, that's like such a the most expansive spiritual and creative portal opening for them, like can literally create life, right? And the rituals missing are what keep people like attuned to that lower frequency. It's all deliberate. And
Yeah,
I've
exactly.
it's indigenous cultures worldwide have known this. They have like the most incredibly epic, deep, attuned rituals to amplify this creative portal for young people. And it's not based on age, you know. I know where I lived out in Central Australia for years, I witnessed these rituals taking place for women. Obviously, I wasn't allowed to be a part, like witness any men's stuff. And it was just like a smack in the face, like in the biggest way. I was like, oh my God, like what the hell have, what are we doing, you know? And you, these young women, they were just, you know, brought into these rituals based on where they were spiritually and psychically. And that was any age range from like, not even necessarily to do with their first bleed, more like where they were at spiritually, from anywhere from like 9 to 15, you know? So it's just depended on them. It was, yeah, really eye-opening. I was like, oh my God.
And
How do
for
I
us,
do this without culturally appropriating anything?
in our
Yeah.
culture, it's like we almost demonize that period. It's
Oh, we
it's
do.
bad.
Absolutely.
It's terrible. It's they're going through this thing. It's a horrible thing, you know. And the truth is, the way you connect to your imagination and the way you connect to your psychic gifts shifts. And there's no one to guide you through it, so you lose the connection as well. And I can say, like, I reconnected, so I would have been in my mid-20s when I reconnected to my psychic gifts. What I never had any teacher that hadn't reconnected to their psychic gifts after, because obviously when this happens for me, and obviously people are waking up much faster and everything is happening much faster. When this happens for me, we're in the beginning of entering this energy that pushes people to learn much faster. So everyone that I'm learning for is in their 60s, and everyone that I'm learning from, and all my colleagues are like in their 50s, right? And I'm the only 20-year-old person, and everyone thought it was wow that I was already there, but they had all come into this after turning into mothers. And so when I became a mother, I had no idea, because no one had any idea, that in the first 3 months you completely lose contact. Completely lose contact with all your psychic gifts and your guides and everything. And I'm like, where have you gone? And that has to happen specifically so you're focusing on the baby. But I didn't have guidance for that part of the ritual on the psychic part of the ritual. Do you see what I mean? It's like no one even knew that would happen. Same with my pendulum. Like, I use my pendulum all the time. I use my pendulum for years. I love my pendulum. It's like the best thing ever. You cannot use it when you're pregnant. No one knew that. Yeah, because if you're using it when you're pregnant, you can have your soul answer or the baby soul can answer, and you don't know if the answer is correct.
I had no
No one
idea
knew
that.
that. Exactly. I didn't know while I was pregnant, so I got lots of wrong answers and I did lots of mistakes. You know, like, so yeah, like, thanks, guys. So it's also, that's it. It's like the lack of ritual of knowledge on this realm within the rituals of hormonal shifts is also very linked to the whole we need to de-school
Oh,
ASAP.
massively so. I feel like that's almost at the top of the list, right? It is at the top of the list. And how many people, like I've had people say it to me all the time, I'll just wait till they're teenagers. Just wait till they're like reckless and wait till they go through this. And it's like, well, maybe it doesn't have to be that way. Maybe we can like be really attuned to what they're actually experiencing, like the full spectrum of what they're experiencing. And the way that we can do that is by leaning into doing work like this, amongst lots of other, de-schooling work that might come across as being woo-woo to us, but is actually deep ingrained with the truth of like being a human and, the multidimensionality of that. It's actually epic. It's so exciting to me
Yeah,
to
it'd be so cool to be able to hand over like the support for our kids when they turn teenagers. Just be like, introduce them to their guides then. And then, you know, here's somebody that you can lean on. If you
And
don't want to come to me.
imagine being able to have those conversations with your teenager when they're going through like massive shifts and big times, I don't know, that's
Yeah.
so
And I mean,
exciting.
like teenagers, obviously, teenagers become really experimental with. Weed and mushrooms and everything, and they have these spiritual experiences, but then they just assume that that's the drugs talking. But it's like, no, you've actually just reached your guide, and you've reached these other, reality with the actual where you can go. You don't need to be on them. You could do that sober, and that's them finding themselves. Them tuning into that more spiritual side of themselves through drugs, that they don't even need that. They could just simply just listen to their
Because, but
guides.
that's what they're searching for, is those altered states of consciousness
Yeah,
so that they can
exactly.
have that
Yeah,
experience, but
yeah,
it's,
yeah. And
yeah,
feel very connected to themselves. Yeah,
in
yeah, yeah.
Australia, sadly, like so much of that is just normalized through drinking and taking all kinds of shitty drugs that are out there these days. And yeah, just not held, or no ceremony, like nothing
Yeah,
that is in
it's not just in
mindfulness.
Australia. It's not just in
I
Australia.
can't speak for
It's
other countries, but yeah, it's
everywhere.
probably pretty
Like,
safe.
I've been to enough to know it's everywhere. Anything that's Western culture, it is the same way, because we don't, it's exactly the lack of ritual that they need to seek it somewhere else, and that's what they seem to find to seek it through,
And it's also that the link between gear orientation, as well.
Your
Like
attachment.
their attachment is to other kids, their own age. It's not to the adults who could be guiding them through these beautiful spiritual things together, but instead they're off with their mates doing into drugs and not, having a ritual ceremony about it. They're doing it to run away from themselves and run away from all of the stuff that's going on in their heads
And
rather than,
dissociate.
they're numbing themselves rather than having that deep connection to the beautiful adults in their life and the tribe and all of that. So,
Yeah, we definitely noticed that in our homeschooling community here. There's a lot of ritual. We're actually going to a solstice gathering on the weekend, and that's just been our children's normal from the start, right? It's even more so since we started like really exploring our connections within our own homeschooling, unschooling community, because we've like sought out people who are really committed to creating life in that way. And yeah, it's just really beautiful that they have that and they talk about it all the time. They know solstice is coming up and they're really anticipating and excited about the ritual that we're going to do with the lanterns and just, eating food together and really honoring this portal that we're about to go through. And I didn't even know what the solstice was until I was like maybe in my mid to late 20s. Like I was just like, oh, it's the darkest night of the year. That's it. I didn't know anything about it. And it's really healing to just witness my own children fully. Just it's not even a thing. It's just a part of who they are. And it's held by all of these beautiful adults that really understand the importance of being, honoring these rites of passage and these rituals. And yeah, it is the way. It is the way. Like, and we don't have to borrow from other cultures, that's the beautiful thing about, I think that's a beautiful thing about, deschooling and accessing these innate wisdoms within us and our guides or our psychic abilities, is that it's a portal home to our own ancestry and our own cultural practices that might not make sense because we are so disconnected from them. At least I am anyway, but I know that they're true. And weaving them in a way that feels right for our families. Yeah. So awesome. I feel
All these
so
rituals can
excited.
become as intertwined as like birthday. They're doing a birthday cake. That's just like a normal part of most people's lives. It's your birthday cake, you're blowing out the candles. But there's actually such more deeper meaning to, the original meaning behind the birthday. I can't remember now, but I know that there is a bigger ritual meaning behind the candle and blowing it out and making the wish.
And really going there, like being creative, like using your creativity and your imagination to create like really fun rituals as a family. It can be weird, like get weird and don't hold back. Like we do all kinds of weird shit in our family when it comes to birthdays, but just in general, we get right into our imagination and we don't really, our imagination doesn't live on the shelf in our family. It's really woven into how we create together. And what that has done as a family is just like supported us to feel so connected and free in ways that, I didn't really experience as a child or that I didn't see modeled for me as a child because there was so much separation and grind culture and work and school and all of this stuff going on. So it's profoundly healing. And like the way that that can expand for us as adults supports us to create what we're actually here to create. We probably just started a little bit later, maybe, because we've had to like come home to that. And what you guys do is such a powerful portal back to that. What an epic conversation.
I feel like I want to add COVID in here. May I add COVID in here?
You can add whatever you want.
I want to go back because there's a couple of things that you have said. I'm like, that's why COVID came. That's why COVID came. That's why COVID came. Because COVID came exactly to show us that we were moving in a sep like we were moving towards more isolation and more separatedness, if that's even a word. And that's because you said like you've noticed people waking up faster in the last 3 years. That's because people went through COVID and they realized how separated and how isolated they were. And now they need to make the shifts so we can come back. And a lot of parents witnessed what their kids were doing. A lot of parents had the experience for the first time what it was to be with their kids at home. You know what I mean? Because a lot of parents would just automatically send kids to school. A lot of parents suddenly have the kids at home and they're like, And they're seeing what school is, and they're seeing what it's doing to the kids, and they're seeing like difference in the kids by the fact that they're all together. And it was really tough, right? It was really tough time, and it had to be tough because it came to show as like is what we call the Taro moment in in the Taro is like the tower needs to crumble because the foundations are not well done. And here we are, and that's why we now have the opportunity to shift things because we saw they could be different from that experience,
Yeah, it's
from
quite
waking
interesting
up.
that COVID as well is like the really like a, there's a lot more of duality between the people that like fully ready to embrace this new way of living and being with our kids. And then there was the other side that completely pushed me back to that and were like, oh, I can't wait to send my kids back to school. And they're really still in that old. I feel the gap way more than what I did pre-COVID between these two different types of people.
The media really, really went hard at trying to keep that frequency humming, you know, and a lot of people sadly bought into it, but a lot of people didn't. I'm pretty sure I've shared this statistic on almost every podcast, but in New South Wales alone, which is the state where we live, 50,000 students just disappeared from the education system. 50,000, and I feel like that was so
Amazing.
many, right? And that's just in New South Wales. And I have no idea what it is now, but I feel like what Carolina was saying, that was just like the opening, you know, and that was the silver lining for a lot of families. And so many families that I've worked with that started homeschooling from COVID had the exact same reflection as what Carolina just said. Suddenly they were at home, their child was on Zoom for 6 hours a day, and they're like, what are they actually doing? Like, what are they doing at school? Like, they did the work in like an hour. And now I have to like be at home and I'm working full time and I can't be with my kid because I have to work from home and I've got this like 9 to 5 job. And what am I even doing? Like, I've done all my work and how do I coexist with my kid? And it was a really confronting realization for a lot of people. And the people that chose to lean in, honestly, I can say that all of them are still homeschooling. They're thriving. They've recreated their life in a way that really suits their authentic family expression. And a lot of them are probably listening to this right now and are like, ooh, let's take it to the next level and like tune into our guides. Like maybe they already have. And it's actually so incredibly beautiful to be a part of and witness. And I feel like what you guys offer is like an amplification of that, you know, to support people to keep building upon this awakening that they're
It's
having.
also what we really are striving for is to create a community as well, that isn't just defined by where everybody lives. I mean, Carolina's in Brisbane, I'm in Tassie. We've met once in real life, you know. Having these, I love when technology is embraced in this way of connecting people. I've made so many friendships in the last year through going through these amazing psychic journeys and seeing everybody else grow into the person that they, you know, are meant to be. Yeah, I just want that for everybody to feel so connected and held. It's bringing you back to that community that, you know, and that village that we've lost along the way, and you know, being tapped in another way far.
It's
You can find
literally our
something to connect with.
birthright.
Yeah,
And
100%.
I want to add to that as well, because it's really important to have community in person because that's how we regulate the nervous system to the community. But actually, what happens with this technology and what's happening like in the world generally is that we're connecting more and more with the people that we'd like to connect, but they're not physically where we are. And when you learn how to spend time in the astral, then those connections happen as if they were happening in the physical realm. Because you can get the energy to meet. So your souls meet, your energy meets in the astral. Does that make sense? So when it's kind of like gathering community in that way, because you can also just scroll and you can just do this and you can just do that and you feel like you're connected, but actually that's just creating more separation and more isolation. It's like a one-sided thing. But once you actually go into the other realms, then this technology makes sense in terms of community, really feeling community.
I feel that. I'm just again thinking back to my experience living out in the desert with community out there, and often elders would talk about how they traveled in their sleep and they went and visited family on country like thousands of kilometers away. And, if they wanted a
Oh,
specific piece
cool.
of information, they would just go and get it. And they just spoke about it so nonchalantly. I was like, whoa. And they're like, okay. But
It. But
it's
this is going to be normal. This is going to be normal in like a generation's time. This will be
Well, that's the
normal.
thing. It is normal, right? Like it is so, yeah, it's happening. I feel like
Yeah.
know
I feel
that.
like the biggest thing I've learned about being psychic is it's not this supernatural, crazy, woo thing. It's this, it's just, it feels so natural when you tune into it. It's like as natural as speaking, as feeling, as hearing. It just comes through so naturally. And you're like, oh, there it is. There's the answer. That's the answer I was looking for. All I had to do was open myself up to it. And you don't need to look outside of yourself. You can be so empowered with, you don't need to go and speak to a medium, or you don't need to go and, which is really cool to do that. But, all of these things, you can tune in and do it yourself if you feel called to it.
Wow. I just had that like outsourcing to a medium. Wow. I just had a
You can
big
do
aha
that. Like you
moment.
can,
You don't
yeah, I
have
don't know.
to. You
Just
could just,
you
I
can just
outsource
do
to
it
mediums all
yourself.
the time.
Yeah. Or, like I remember we did past life regressions, and I remember reading a book about it years ago, and I was like, that sounds really cool, but I have to do it with, like, somebody has to do that for me. And then I did it with Carolina. I'm like, oh, I can just do it. I can just lay down in my lounge room where the kids are playing and go do a past life regression. Like,
When I'm nap trapped.
yeah, when I'm nap trapped, yeah, like you can do all of these things, and it's crazy, like astral traveling and channeling and all of this. Like I will do it with the kids playing around me. I'll breastfeeding. I'll be interrupted, but it doesn't dilute the experience. It doesn't dilute me being able to reach this higher dimension, higher self. It can all be done amongst your kids, and it should. All these practices should be done with your kids. It doesn't need to be separate. It can be amongst the chaos of motherhood. And, from doing that, our kids will see us doing these really cool things. I'm like, what are you doing, mom? And I'm like, oh, just gonna go see my guides. They're like, can you ask them this? Can you ask them that? What are they saying? It's
Wow,
normal to them, And it's so cool that you don't need to go to some fancy retreat. You don't need to go and see someone specifically and, some other place. You can do it. You can do it all within the mayhem of motherhood. And I love that so much. It just feels so empowering.
That feels amazing listening to you say that. It's like de-schooling the psychic, decolonizing. That's like
Yes.
the decolonizing when it comes back into the home and we're not outsourcing and paying for it in that way. We're just like learning the skills and just practicing it as a normal part of our life. It's such a de-schooling, decolonizing experience.
Yeah. I feel like when I first started talking to my mum about this, because she's really into going to get, she'll go and have her car, like get, go and see a tarot reader, or she'll go and see a psychic and get her future. And it was, I think, quite confronting for her when I started saying that I've been doing that myself, mom, because that generation, they go to the professional. If you're hurt, you go to the doctor. If you need your teeth, all these things, you go to the professional, not realizing that a lot of this stuff, while it is good to have professionals for some things, a lot of these things, especially when it comes to psychic stuff, you can just tune in within. You can do the work or be in a beautiful community with all of the other people that are, having their own psychic journeys, and you can support each other.
Oh my God, that's I'm so excited.
Yeah. You got to come in, Amy.
Yeah, totally. Where do I sign up?
Yeah,
We'll have to leave it at there. We'll have to leave it there. Unfortunately, I feel like I could just keep going deeper and deeper into this conversation. It's so inspiring, and I'm sure a lot of the people listening are feeling the same. So maybe if you're listening and you're feeling as excited as I am by this conversation, you can tune into Mother Priestess and check out their offerings. Do you want to share a little bit about your Instagram or your website or any offerings that you have right now or coming up? Who's going to go first?
go, Carolina. Okay, you can find us on Instagram at mother.priestess. We would love to have you along. And we just today we launched our first offering. I don't know if it's going to still be open when this comes out. Probably not, but we're about to do a astral traveling and with a little Claire's bundle included as well. But I'm sure that we will be offering that again. So if you follow us on socials, though, you'll be able to stay up to date with wherever we're going to go next. Yeah, wherever the journey takes us.
Great.
Yeah.
Amy, you can come and meet your guides, and then we can do a second episode after that with your
Yes.
new guide
Oh, yeah.
knowledge, you
That too.
know?
I'm into
Yeah.
that. Seriously, so into that. Amazing. It's been so inspiring talking to you both. I'm so happy we had this conversation. I feel like this is really like such a missing link in the de-schooling, unschooling conversation. And the more that we remove the school lens, the more of these layers reveal themselves, the more empowered we are as a community, the more we'll just amplify our healing and what it is that we're here to create as a collective. And you guys are seriously like on the front line of that at the moment. And it's really amazing to listen to. So thank you so much for coming onto the podcast today. It's been a
Thank you for
pleasure.
having us. It's been a
Yeah.
pleasure to be here as well.
Well, I'm so inspired by you too, Amy. So
Yeah.
thanks. You helped me to remove my son from school. So
Yes.
started the journey. You hooked us up. So yeah.
This is the community expansion, right? It's
It
happening in
really
real
is.
time. I love it. I'm all about it. And the School Free Life is all about it, obviously. You've been listening to the School Free Life podcast. If you loved what you heard and you want to hear more, follow us over on Instagram at the.school.free.life. Otherwise, you can hear us on all major streaming platforms. Thanks for tuning in.